and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 25. I'm Jack, and today I'm joined by a Burnley fan, John.
Hello, up the Clarets.
What a start that is.
How you doing, Jack?
How many people have now switched off after hearing that?
Must tell your audience now, sorry about that.
So I'm really looking forward to this show today, actually, because it's very rare that I actually have an opposition fan on. So it's going to be great. We'll preview Spurs-Burnley. But before we go into that, I always do this with my first-time guests. Find out a bit about how you got into football. Okay. So normally I'm sat here quizzing people on, you know, how did you get into Spurs? But today it's, how did you get into football? And how did you end up supporting the mighty Burnley?
The mighty Burnley. Well, obviously my parents didn't like me very much as a child. So they forced me to go to Turf Moor. So actually my mum's side of the family are from a place called Nelson in Lancashire. From when I was six, they used to take me to the hallowed turf at Turf Moor with a little stool. So in those days, you used to be able to take a stool into the ground. It was all terracing, stood on the stool, and used to watch it. And I always used to cheer for the opposite team. But then eventually, I was brainwashed, and child abuse is a terrible thing. And it got in my blood, and I've been a loyal, passionate supporter ever since.
Fantastic. And now you use that stool for hitting opposition
fans
before
games,
don't you?
Legs so off you yeah, self-defence.
Can you remember what your first ever match was?
I can. It was Burnley 0, Leicester City 0, which was absolutely awful. I can't remember what it was. It would probably be, I know you think I don't look old enough, but it would probably be in the late 70s. And
you must have been 20 or 30 at that point as well.
Yeah, thanks for that. And then the next one was a lot better. It was Burnley Everton, and I think Everton won 4-1.
So not a great start to your Burnley career.
Yeah, and then I actually started following Burnley properly when they were in the lowest tier and when they nearly went out of the league in the late 80s. And remember the glorious Orient game where they were about to knock Turf Moor down and build a supermarket. Everyone thought they were going to lose and go out of the league. Club was going to fold, and they beat Leighton Orient. And it was...
That really was save our club territory.
It was. And that is only what? Well, it'd be 30 years ago, you know, something like that.
In football terms, actually, to have gone from there to play in Europe this season is a pretty fast rise, isn't it?
Not bad, is it?
To the top,
absolutely.
And who's the best ever player that you've seen then over the years?
See, I was thinking about this, and I hate sticks in my throat to say this, but it's actually a Spurs player. I saw Gareth Bale play in one of his last games for Spurs at Villa Park, and it was like he was superhuman.
Yeah,
it was just, I've never seen anybody as quick, as fit, as fast to be able to control the ball as quickly, pinpoint chance. He was just, he was like a, like X-Men or something. He was like a superhero. It's absolutely unbelievable. I've never seen a player like that.
Some of those top players, just, they have a presence, don't they? There's just something about them and you think, Christ, we've got a player here.
I think with him, it was all of the skill, but it was just the supreme fitness and strength as well. Mm. He was just, like, unreal. But actually, Burnley have got a really, really exciting prospect, one to watch. Dwight McNeil, don't know if you've heard of him yet.
Oh, he's been in the team a bit this season, hasn't he?
He looks really, really... He's only 18.
Yeah.
Looks really handy. Very, very skillful, quick, tricky, absolutely no fear. He's got the potential to be a massive, massive star.
Has he come from the academy, or did you buy him?
So we got him out of Man United's academy. So he was at Man United, didn't make it there. We've got quite a strong academy now.
Yeah.
Came through the ranks, and he'd been outstanding in the under-23s and the B team. And then made his debut, I think it was against Fulham, I can't remember. And he was just like, wow, who is this kid?
Yeah, because I've actually seen him a few times, only in games on the telly.
Yeah.
But he's got the old school winger in terms of he'll go past someone, but he can play as well. He's quite a clever...
He's very, really clever, really tricky. I think we could do with building a bit more pace and a bit more strength, but I think that'll come. And he's got potential to be definitely a future England player. And I think he's just about to break into the under-21s.
Well, there you go. And actually, not a bad side for him to be at. He's going to get game time. He's going to learn his trade.
Yeah.
He's going to have to learn how to do the ugly stuff as well, which a lot of players at the top
It's good for him to be at one of the big clubs, you know, one of the best clubs in the country, rather than, you know, one of those smaller London teams.
Well, speaking of smaller London teams, then, you were at the game earlier this season.
I was.
Wembley,
yeah.
Which was one of the greatest games ever in the history of the Premier League.
It was incredible, wasn't it?
Attacking football, chance after chance. Two teams, you know, really intent on going for the win and committing bodies forward. Christian Eriksen's winner in injury time, which I think was one of the only shots on target
robbery,
the whole game.
Robbery, yeah.
What did you make of that? So was that your first time to Wembley as an away, like, as a Burnley fan?
I'd been there when we got into the Premiership the first time. We got up in 2009 when we beat Sheffield United. Mm. That's the first time I've been to see a club play there. And I think the only thing worse than the match was the weather.
It was grim.
Freezing. It was awful. It was like being back up north, except worse. And I think it's probably one of the worst games of football I've ever seen.
Terrible.
We were just starting to improve. It was just before we dropped Joe Hart. I'd argue if we'd had Heaton, I think he would have saved Eriksen's shot. But we managed to park the bus, spoil the game.
5-4-1 formation.
And do everything that's wrong about football. But what do you do when you come to Spurs and you're burning? Yeah. What do? You can't come and play. So we were on for a draw. We didn't deserve it, but we could have actually snuck it at the end. Yeah. But it wasn't good. I think this game will be completely different. Yeah. We're a different side now.
Yeah. As an away fan in that game, like you say, you're going into that, you're playing against one of the big boys in the Premier League, really, in Spurs. What's the fans' response when you see the team and you see it's 5-4-1 and you see it's just everyone behind the ball? Do fans get on board with it, or is there frustration?
Yeah, they do, because you're coming to Spurs, and we were doing that on the back of 3 or 4 4 and 5 nil drabbings. Yeah. So, you know, it's important that you've got some sort of tactic to shut up shop. And but obviously, you want to come and see your team win.
Yeah.
But equally, you don't want to come and see your team lose 4 or 5 nil, which was a strong possibility the way Spurs were playing and the way Burnley were playing. Actually, everybody I spoke to and the atmosphere in the away end was pretty good, because we didn't disgrace ourselves.
No. And like you said, on another day you get a 0-0 or that half chance on about 70 minutes, which falls to Barnes, could go in on another day. And then
we had a couple of late chances, a couple of things could have rolled in. So,
And you know what surprises me as well? Because there are a lot of London-based sides in the Premier League now, and southern sides as well, down on the south coast.
Yeah.
And the amount of Burnley fans that turned out for that game honestly amazed me, because it's a long way to go.
Yeah.
If you're driving down or getting the coach or train or whatever from Burnley for the day, it's a long old trip. But there was a fair few of you there as well, which always amazes me.
But I think there's probably more Burnley fans live outside Burnley than live in Burnley now. And a lot of second-generation Burnley fans, like my son, he was brought up in the northeast. He's a passionate Burnley fan, so he goes to home and away. And
fantastic.
So I think, because Burnley, you know, it's not the nicest of places, which is a polite way of putting it. Roundabout it is really nice, but also, you know, it's only half an hour from Manchester, so anyone within a 30 mile radius can get down. The train from Manchester is only 2 hours. But, you know, so many people work in and around London, and there's a good turnout for the Southern Games, and there's a big supporters club in London, so...
Yeah, fantastic. So you were saying that you think the game this weekend's actually going to be a lot different, you're a different side now. What do you think's changed since when we played at Wembley?
The catalyst for us was, with no offence to Joe Hart, he is a good shot stopper, but he doesn't command his defence. Mm. And the difference between the Burnley of last season and the Burnley where we finished seventh and got into Europe and the Burnley of this season, to me, is clearly, unfortunately, the difference between Joe Hart and Tom Heaton. Mm. Tom Heaton's come into the side and he's just kind of shored up what was kind of a good defence anyway, but it was just lacking a bit of leadership. And he's made some incredible saves. Yeah. And I think that spurred the team on. And also the young lad coming into the side, Dwight McNeil, has given them a bit more time. Mm. And they've got a bit of creativity and a bit of trickery. So they've got a bit more sort of strength on the bench in midfield now, a few less injuries. And there are different sides. I went down to Brighton 2 weeks ago, and, you know, it was... it was men against boys. Brighton couldn't get a look in. They had a lot of possession, couldn't get past
and
the
that defense. Seemed like the Burnley of last year. I watched that game on TV. And actually Heaton in the first 10 minutes made a couple of
outstanding saves,
top saves.
I
think the point you make about the leadership, because he's your captain as well, isn't
he?
Having him back, and I liken that really, I've criticised Loris a fair few times this season for some games, but when it's your captain, there's more sometimes than just the player coming back in, and it's the man himself. What was Brighton like then as that away day? He must have had a good afternoon.
It was great. We thought they're going to shut up shop, it's going to be another 0-0, and they did. They played kind of similarly to how they played at Spurs, a lot better, but then quite a bit more possession in midfield and some really quick breaks, some great wing play and some good crosses.
So now, which is what Burnley are good at. You've got big powerful centre forwards, so you think put the ball in the box to them, it makes sense.
You'll definitely see that on in this case, is it Saturday?
Saturday, lunchtime.
Yes, it's on TV as well, isn't it? So you'll definitely see that on Saturday. So you'll see a lot of crosses in, a lot of balls into Wood and Barnes. And then I wasn't keen on this transfer, but the old we got the secret weapon of Peter Crouch.
Peter Crouch. I mean, I thought that was a really, really good bit of business for Burnley.
Well, he got us a point against Southampton. Yeah. He won us our first penalty in 67 games.
Yeah, and you had two or three since, haven't you, as well?
We can't stop getting them.
It's typical. But Peter Crouch, I mean, he was at Spurs for a few seasons when we
had
Harry. What a brilliant player. Honestly, like, all the fans just took to him straight away at Spurs. There's the whole thing, isn't there? He's got a good touch for a big player. But you know what? Technically, fantastic. Good finisher. He is just a problem that you're never going to have faced as a defender. Not someone that big. I mean, if you have, fair enough. But it's very, very rare. He's 6 foot seven, 6 foot eight, isn't he? He's a giant.
Yeah, he's great to bring off the bench. He's pretty too old and probably not quick enough to be starting. But, you know, you bring him on for the last 15 minutes to, you know, either win a game or save a game.
Well, yeah, if you're defending deep and you're defending set pieces, you stick him on. Redknapp, actually, at Spurs, used to do that in games. When we were really hanging on, he'd go and play centre-back for the last 5 minutes and just clear everything away. So what are your thoughts then, and what's your prediction mainly for the game on Saturday?
I'm going to stick my neck out here. I don't do this very often, but I'm going Burnley win. And I think the reason I'm doing that, don't laugh. I think we could do 3-1. And the reason I think that is
is that vodka you're drinking?
No, sorry, I haven't been sniffing glue again today. But if you look at our form, and actually some of the luck we've had, we'd be in the top four in the Premiership since Christmas. So we're undefeated since Christmas.
Is that right?
We haven't lost in 2019, and the game was stolen from us at Watford. So we would have won at Watford. I don't know if he's. So we scored in the 92nd minute. It was offside. It was nowhere near offside. Yeah. And we should have won at Man United. So they had
2-0 up there, weren't you?
2-0 up with 3 minutes to go, and they scored a good goal, and then the penalty was never a penalty, and it was overtime. It was Fergie time.
That's a couple of years running. Actually, you've been two up at.
We also
were the last year you were 2-0, because I remember Stephen Defoe scoring a
beautiful free kick.
Remember that. But he hasn't played that much for you this season.
It's a shame. He's got so much potential, but he's just injured all the time. And I think that's why he's never made it a big club. I think Spurs looked at him at one time, and I know he nearly went to Man United and he got injured. But
I think he found his level at Burnley.
He's a world class player, but not good enough for a world class club.
So you're going 3-1 Burnley. I mean, from a Spurs point of view, we've got Kane back.
He's back for this.
That is that's a massive boost. Whether or not he starts or not,
so he'll be playing in Tarkowski's pocket, right?
having him back, I don't think that he'll start. I think he'll be off the bench and he might get half an hour because he's been out for a while. But what a boost for us.
Best
striker in the country coming
back.
And we've done quite well against you, actually. The last few seasons, it feels like, I don't know what the stats say.
I feel like we've won every game at Turf Moor, haven't you? So maybe we're due one, you know.
Yeah, maybe. Or we just keep that run going for longer and longer. But it was, I think it was 3-0 last year, didn't Kane get a hat trick? We played you right on top of Christmas.
I can't remember anything about that. Can we change the subject?
I suppose it's quite rare you see 3 goals at Turf. I think we'll go there and win. I think these are the type of games. People are talking about us in contention for the title. We have to win every game.
You have
really.
To give us a thrashing to stay in contention. You've got to give us a thrashing. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe you will, or maybe it'll.
I'm confident we'll go there and win. I don't think it will be a thrashing. I think it'll be quite tight, just given how you guys play. I think you'll make it difficult, but I can see us getting through the game. 1 or 2 nil. I think we'll probably go into that game with the attitude of we've got to keep it tight and be aggressive and not give a lot away.
Yeah.
Because we know what Burnley are going to do and how they're going to play.
Yeah.
But I think just having Kane, even just sat on the bench, I think that will be the difference.
Is Dele back as well? Or is he
I don't think he's back for Saturday.
Right.
But we've got a massive week next week. We've got Chelsea and Arsenal next week.
Ooh.
So right. You know, he might be back for the bench.
So this is your cup final on Saturday then, really?
But I think it'll be a good game. I do, and I'm a big fan of Sean Dyche, and we'll talk about him a bit more in a bit because some of the listeners have written in with some questions about him. But I quite like him.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about some other players as well to make the Spurs Burnley connection. So players that have played for both sides. So we talked about Peter Crouch.
Yeah.
more recent times, Kieran Trippier.
Yeah.
Was one who I remember when he was actually at Burnley, we used to speak quite a lot about him and you used to rave about him. You said what a great player we've got here.
Absolutely.
He's come to Spurs and you know, this season's probably not been his best season.
Post
the World Cup he struggled to find his form and find what formation suits him best and
a few
other things, but the season before that, I mean, he was absolutely
outstanding. I think he was a player of the World Cup for England.
Yeah.
He was brilliant and he was a great player from us. We got him from City. Mm. You could tell we weren't going to keep him.
Yeah.
And then I think he struggled in his first season, didn't he, because of Danny Rose.
Yeah.
So
we had Kyle Walker.
Was his main one.
Sorry.
But
he played a few games, but it was difficult for him to just.
Yeah.
Because we were playing wing backs that season.
Yeah.
Walker was such an athlete.
Yeah.
It was tough for him to get in ahead of him.
Yeah. But once he got in that team, particularly last season, he was just outstanding. Real, real top quality player. And it's really nice to see a player from Burnley, you know, go to Spurs and make such a name.
Well, how was his departure like perceived as fans as well? Because you went down, and that was when we took him. And were fans just sort of like, well, Spurs are coming, what can you do?
Really popular. They got it, you know. He was too good for the club.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great they went to Spurs. And I went to White Hart Lane, when it was getting half knocked down. And I was in a box and I was watching, I think he was on the bench and he was like chatting away to all the Burnley fans. He was obviously still very close with the club. Everyone at Burnley like loves him.
Yeah, and he's a good player.
He's a great player.
His delivery is absolutely fantastic. And
he's a nice lad as well.
He's been criticised quite a lot by Spurs fans this year. Some weeks justified, some weeks not. I think overall the criticism's probably been a bit harsh on him.
We'll have him back. If you don't want him, we'll have him back anytime.
We'll talk about that in a bit because that's one of the questions that came up.
Yeah.
So that's Kieran Trippier. Aaron Lennon was the next one.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on Aaron Lennon?
It's been a bit, to be honest, it's been a real disappointment, but I know he's been through a lot of health issues.
Yeah.
He's nowhere near, I've been through a lot. He's had a few moments of his old brilliance, but a lot of the time he's anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he's like, he's chasing the game, he's not getting back. He's one or two games he's played really well. He's had the odd sort of good touch. He's probably a squad player for us now. And I think there's talk about him going back to Leeds.
Oh, really?
And I think Leeds are looking at him. So I think that might be good for him and good for us. But, you know, he's put the effort in and things and he's done okay. But I think his head's gone, Jeff.
I think what will be interesting, because when I watched him and when I think of Aaron Lennon at his best, it was when Peter Crouch was in the side.
Right.
And he's getting at the fullback, he's beating his man, he's just standing across up to the back post and Crouch is, you know, smashing everything in his way and winning it at the back post and scoring. They're the memories of Aaron Lennon that I had. I mean, I remember his blistering pace used to just terrify defenders. He's not quite got that anymore.
It's still there a bit. And also, we've got some good alternatives. So Robbie Brady, when he's fit, he's a great player. Goodmunson, the Icelander who got from Charlton, he's been outstanding for us.
And he's got excellent delivery as well, which, you know, like we said about
great
the style that you guys have got. But I loved Aaron Lennon. He was a player, you know, that he played a lot under Martin Yeo and then Redknapp and even under AVB, you know, like he was quite a big player for us. Was with us really from when we were struggling in mid-table in the positions that you dream of being in getting into the Champions League and you're setting a win. He set a winner up for Peter Crouch in the San Siro. So it's like, again, the memories there are absolutely fantastic. So you never know, you might get that
you never know.
One day.
Yeah.
So that's Aaron Lennon. Peter Crouch, we've talked about. There are a couple of others. Dean Marnie.
Dean Marnie is an animal. So he's now at Fleetwood with Joey Barton. Can you imagine that combination? You would not want to go there. So he's a legend at Burnley, and he was a great player. He's as hard as nails.
Yeah.
Good as well as being hard, he's a good footballer. Probably a really good championship player.
Yeah, and he was big for you when you got up, wasn't he, that season? Yeah.
And then he's not quite good. Good enough just for the Premiership, but he's never going to be a real quality Premiership player. But great guy, fans' favourite. The fans absolutely love him because he'd just run through walls for you.
Yeah. I remember him, his debut for Spurs, actually.
Yeah.
So he was a young player, came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he scored a brace on his debut against Everton.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
One was a 25-yard and he put in the top corner. Everyone was thinking, what a player we've got here. Like, he's the next big thing.
Yeah.
And then he just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Again, he's another player who's quite injury prone. That's the thing. I don't know if he was ever fully fit.
Yeah. He could never cement down a place at Spurs. He was in and out of the team early on.
Yeah.
And then he came in for a few games at right back.
Right.
And he was atrocious.
Was he?
He was absolutely dire. Because, I mean, he's not the most mobile, even when he's in midfield. So putting him up against wingers was...
It's a nightmare.
He really struggled.
Yeah.
But that debut, honestly, I'll never forget that. Everyone saying, we've got England's next big thing.
Yeah.
And it's not quite.
Still a great player, but I just don't know if he was ever fully fit.
And the big one, you know, which will be on everybody's lips, and everyone will be listening to this thinking, you've got to talk about, you know, the best player that's ever played for Spurs and Burnley, George Kevin and Kudu. Which was just...
I think you were going to ask me who's the worst player I've ever seen in a Burnley shirt. And I saw him at Watford for us last season, and he did not have a clue. He didn't know what day it was. He didn't know where he was chasing the game. Sean Dyche was doing his crust over it. And I think that's probably the worst performance I've ever seen of anyone in a Burnley shirt.
And that's some statement.
Before that, that's a particular kind of a bad quality. But a few of the games he was quite quick, but then did nothing with it.
Yeah.
Having said that, I watched the Fulham game, Tottenham Spurs.
He came on, didn't he?
He came on. He played a blinder. He made the cross. Yeah. So maybe it was just, you know.
He was such a strange player for Spurs, because we didn't really see him. In his defence, he barely ever played for us. The games where he has played, he's come on for 15 minutes. In games that we're 3-0 up or 3-0 down, and it's like, well, he's not really going to do a lot.
No.
He got a bit of a chance in pre-season,
but
flat to deceive, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I actually remember us talking when he went to Burnley.
That's right.
And he said to me, we've signed this French winger from you. Like, what have we got here? I remember saying to you, not a lot, John, if I'm honest. And he didn't disappoint, did he?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Strange player. He's nicked to move to Monaco now. Is it Monaco?
So, right.
What an agent.
Yeah, wow.
Fair enough.
I mean, he may do better in the French league. It's a bit slower, it's a bit...
But you've got a bit of a brain even to play in the French league, haven't you, really?
I suppose so, So he's not going to make it then. That Fulham performance isn't going to get him.
He came on in that game.
He did play well in that game.
He came on 15 minutes, was outstanding, and everyone was actually laughing because he was brilliant.
Yeah.
Set the goal up.
Yeah.
He even tweeted after the game, "Do you remember me?" Which was just sensational. And we had a lot of injuries at that point in the season.
Yeah.
And a few days later, he played against Chelsea away in the second leg of the League Cup semi-final.
Right.
That was like, okay, you've done it, you've got the assist, here you go.
Yeah.
Go and show what you're made of.
Yeah.
And it was a performance like what you saw against Watford, just not in the game.
No.
It's not even like, you need to get frustrated at players that get on the ball and they're giving it away a lot or they're getting dispossessed, but there were games watching him. He could not be there. It was it's pretty amazing sometimes watching him. But there we go. I don't think I've forgotten anybody really obvious that's played for both of us. Paul Robinson was the only other one.
Oh, of course, Paul Robinson. Yeah, he didn't play very often. Yeah,
no, but he was massive, wasn't he? He was massive for Spurs. You know, England number one for a good few years. One of my favourite goalkeepers for Spurs, actually, Robbo. He had. Still to this day, the best kicking of a goalkeeper I've ever seen. He used to be incredible. He used to set goals up.
Yeah.
It'd be a corner, he'd come out and catch it. Aaron Lennon would be in, square it.
Yeah.
There's a tap in for someone.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably moved him on maybe a season before we should have done, but we definitely ended up outgrowing him.
Yeah.
He went to Blackburn and then controversially ended up at Burnley, didn't he? How did that go down?
It was okay. I mean, it never goes down particularly well when you talk about that team that shall not be mentioned. But I think because he was the ex-England keeper and because he was a good acquisition to the coaching staff and all that sort of thing, then he was fairly, welcomed.
Yeah.
So,
You mentioned the team that you don't want to mention.
Yes.
Have you been to many of those derbies?
I have. Yes.
What are they like?
That is, it is up there with the biggest rivalries in the country. It's only 8 miles, and back in the day, people used to walk. But now the only way you can go.
But your knees are gone now, aren't they?
My knees are gone now, so yeah, my Zimmer frame won't get me that far. But what you have to do now is you have to go to Turf Moor, get a coach from Turf Moor to Ewood. Mm. They won't let anybody in from Burnley. So if you try and get any way out, you have to go back to Burnley. And so even people who live in Blackburn, so a lot of people live in Blackburn.
They've got to go.
Go all the way to Burnley and all that. And it is intense. Probably more on our side than theirs, because they don't have many fans anyway, obviously. But yeah, it's I can't explain it. It is absolute. It is hatred.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, but it's hatred, and it's like the stress and the. If we lose, so we've been quite lucky over the last 10 years or so. We've won virtually every game, but I remember when it was the other way around, and you used to be just mortified. You just wanted the ground to swallow up, but it's a really. It makes the hairs on the back of your head tingle.
As a fan, they're the games you look forward to, aren't they? You know, obviously,
winning
trophies and cup finals are amazing, but those derby games, which you've got at least two of them a season, are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
The atmosphere, and like you said, what you're experiencing, because you don't enjoy the derby games, nobody does.
No. Because unless you're winning and it's,
You see, I even sometimes find when we're winning, it's worse because you've got something to hold on to.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're a couple of goals down, you're like, oh, it's done. Like, we're not going to come back. But fantastic, the derbies are what make it. Definitely.
That's you and Crystal Palace, is it?
I actually went to Blackburn. I've been to Ewood Park.
Never mind, I'm sorry about that.
It's not the best place, is
no.
it?
Have you been to Burnley?
I've not been to Burnley's
even worse.
I went to, Mr. L Senior went to a game when Blackburn were in the Prem, so quite a few seasons ago now. We're in the wooden away stand.
Yeah, we've got one of those. Yeah.
And it was 1-1. It was an end of season game. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. The less said about that, the better, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're going to do now the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz. Oh.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
God.
With a bit of a twist. So anybody that listens and knows this feature, what I do is I normally name a game that Spurs have been involved in.
Okay.
I'll give you the date of that. And
I
name half of the starting 11 and then the guests name the other half. But we're going to do it with Burnley today.
Yeah.
Which should be quite an interesting one to see how good your knowledge is. No pressure.
See how good yours is as well. You must have done your research.
If you do terrible, I'll just edit it out. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But we're going to do Burnley 3, Tottenham 2.
Ooh.
January 2009. So this was the second leg of the League Cup.
That's a slippery one.
Second leg of
so
the
this
League
was
Cup.
2009.
So you like I said, you won that 3-2 on the night, but we got through 6-4 on aggregate.
Right.
And it was a game that we won the first leg 4-1 at Tottenham, and then the return leg at Turf Moor, you went 3-0 up. Which forced it into extra time, and we scored two really, really late goals
to
take us to the cup final.
I remember that, just a bloody team. That is, it's gone.
2009.
Gone.
So, in goal that day, you had Brian Jensen.
Oh, the beast.
The beast.
Yeah.
Your right back is a question mark, so you'll need to work that one out.
Okay.
One of your centre halves is Michael Duff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some really big names coming out already, let's be honest. And your other centre-back is a question mark, so one that you'll need to get.
Yeah.
Your left-back, and I'd never heard of this player, was Stephen Jordan.
Oh, God, yeah.
So it's,
he didn't play many games.
He didn't. Right-hand side of midfield was Wade Elliott.
Yeah, legend.
What a player.
Yeah.
Left-hand side of midfield is a question mark, so that's one you need to get. First centre midfielder was Joey Gudjonsson. I don't remember him. Your other centre midfielder is a question mark. And then up top you have Martin Patterson.
Pato,
And alongside him, the other centre forward is a question mark. So you need to try and work out the right back, centre back, left hand side midfielder, centre midfielder, and striker from that.
Right. Okay. So I reckon the right back was Trips.
It wasn't actually.
Oh.
It wasn't Trips.
Okay. Centre back was Shackle.
Wasn't Shackle.
Oh, you're
wasn't
joking.
Wasn't Shackle.
You're joking me.
Wasn't Shackle. I'll give you some clues if you start to struggle.
So, and then, so left midfield, was it Dave Jones?
Yeah, it wasn't Dave
Jones. No, you're joking. I thought I've got this.
I'll give you some clues. So, left midfielder.
I've got them all wrong. And left, then centre forward. Go on, left midfielder.
Left midfielder, clue for left midfielder. He's a former Man United player. He had long-ish hair and used to wear a bit of a Alice band. Okay, your right back was, I believe he was your captain at this time. He was a bit of a veteran, hard as nails. Again, longish hair, quite an aggressive fullback.
Oh, it was, yeah. From the lad from Coventry, was there? Graham Alexander,
yeah. Correct. There
yes, I should have got that. Stupid of me.
You've saved yourself from complete embarrassment.
Yeah,
so
that makes a change, doesn't it?
You have a striker you need to get. He was a player, he was at Burnley a while. He scored your first goal when you got back into the Premier League when you beat Man United. You beat Man United 1-0.
Oh, it was Robbie Blake, of course.
Robbie Blake.
Yeah,
Robbie
yeah. Blake. How can I not have known that?
And that goal in that game.
That was brilliant. Oh, I was there. We went volley. Absolutely mental. Robbie Blake, what a legend with his red underpants.
Centre back that you need to get. Wasn't Shackle.
Wasn't Duff.
He's done quite a lot of punditry work. The first.
Oh, I know who it is. Clark Carlisle.
Clark Carlisle.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. It's all coming back to me. It's age, you see.
So you still need the left midfielder.
So left midfielder with long hair and a headband. Jesus.
And he was Man United. He was a young Man United player. Didn't quite make it.
Yeah.
And then he ended up at Burnley because it got that bad for him.
I think you've done me on that one. I'm going to kick myself in
eternity. We'll come back to that one. And the other centre midfielder. I can't really give you much on this one because I don't really know him.
10 years ago, isn't it?
Is there anyone you can take a punt on?
No.
Fine. The left midfielder.
Yeah.
Was Chris Eagles.
Oh God! God, should have got that. What an idiot! Chris Eagles, of course.
The centre midfielder who played alongside Jager Johnson was Chris McCann.
Oh, McCann, yeah, God, yeah,
he was there a long time. I don't remember him.
Yeah, he came through the ranks, he was there a long time, actually. Yeah, I wouldn't have got McCann.
Dean Marnie of the early 2000s,
I should have got...
So that Burnley team then was...
Should have got Eagles,
Jensen in goal.
Yeah.
Back four's Alexander, Duff, Carlisle and Jordan.
Yeah.
Midfield, Elliot, Eagles, Gudjonsson, McCann.
Yeah.
And then Blake and Patterson up top.
Wow.
So, I mean, bear in mind, that's only 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You compare that to the Burnley team now.
That was our first... Was that our first season in the Premier League? Or was it when we were just coming up? I think it was when we were just coming up, wasn't it?
It was one of the two.
I think it was. We were just coming up that season.
And the Spurs side, the Spurs listeners...
Yeah.
Our side, this is amazing, the change. We played 4-5-1 that day, going there to try and shut up shop because we had the lead.
You've slagged me off for parking the
bus. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We couldn't even do it that night, could we? We had Ben Ornwick in goal. Exactly.
Never heard of him.
Right back was Chris Gunter.
Ooh.
Another one.
Jesus.
He's Wales' most ever capped player.
Is he?
There you go.
I never knew that.
Our centre backs were Michael Dawson.
Yeah.
Good Premier League player.
Yeah,
Jonathan Woodgate.
Oh, boy,
good player. And Benoit Asuikoto was at left back for us. So, bad back four. Right hand side of midfield, David Bentley.
Oh, David Bentley. That's
a name from the past. Left
hand side. Blackman as well.
Yeah, yes. Left hand side of midfield, Jamie O'Hara.
God, yeah.
I mean, he's at Billericay Town, I think, now.
Is he? Yeah.
That's how the mighty have fallen. Our three centre midfielders were Tom Huddleston.
Yep.
Luka Modric.
Modric as well.
Didier Zakora.
Yeah.
They were our three
midfielders. That's not bad, then, is it?
And Defoe was up top on his own.
Right.
In that day. So, but again, you know...
Still a bit of quality in there, isn't
still
it?
Still a bit of quality.
Yeah.
But again, you compare that side now. I know that was a slightly weaker side because we were struggling in the league that season.
Yeah.
But still, you know, 10 years on, our team would beat that about 10-0.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. So
yeah.
There we go. How the two teams have changed is quite interesting, isn't it?
You don't realise, do you? It doesn't seem that long ago, but it's a world away, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's no survivors from that Spurs side or from that Burnley team, I don't think, that are still there now. So
all gone.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz. We Are Burnley quiz, as I should rebrand it this week.
Yeah. I didn't do very well there, did I? Well, I got there in the end.
You did a bit of prompts. I did all right. It is 10 years ago, and you're a man of older years.
I was only 10 in those days.
I've got some questions from our listeners, actually.
Great.
So I put out on social media earlier that I was interviewing the mighty John Houston.
Absolutely. I'm sure they all knew me.
Your fan base have been going mad all day.
Yeah.
So some questions for you. So Am I Legend and James B on Reddit have said, from a Burnley point of view, it's not been the best of seasons, especially compared to last year. Yeah. Do you think it was European football that derailed the season, or is it something else?
I think European football didn't do us any favours, because it was a lot of games, but I think Dyche had his team wrong to start with, and unfortunately, I think it was starting at the back. Joe Hart was just leaking goals left, right, and centre, and I think the confidence went, and the difference since he went is we're undefeated.
And he's also said, do you think Dyche is still the man to take Burnley forward?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I question whether he knows his best side. But sometimes, he'll be a tactical genius. So I don't think we could get any better.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he could get any better, because there was talk about him going, but, where's he going to go?
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever going to be a manager for the top six. And, we've got potential to be one of the sort of the following pack.
Yeah, the next best, yeah.
So, maybe somewhere like... I worry about somewhere like Leicester, because... this Claude Puel or whatever.
I don't think he knows what Everton is. Maybe
Everton. There was talk about Everton before, but I don't know if I think the Scousers up there, they think they're better than that, don't they? So it'll be another kind of Sam Allardyce. He's good for us. He's been there a long time now. I think he's the second longest serving Premiership manager.
I'll tell you what I like about him. You do wonder
sometimes, but he's a bright guy. He's a great talker.
Yeah,
he's very good with interviews.
He's a motivator as well, isn't he? When you hear him talk, as a fan, you'd be like, "Oh yeah, I'd quite like to play for him." You can tell that he really gets his players up for it. What's quite rare about, I think, Burnley and the Dyche project is, obviously, he got you up, and went down and stayed with you and got you back up, which doesn't happen very often. No.
But we were punching above our weight the first time.
Yeah,
And then again to stay up, we're punching above our weight, and now it's kind of, is he going to establish us as a good Premiership side? And it looked like he wasn't, but now we've kind of flipped it a little bit.
And you're probably about where you should be now, right?
If we can get towards halfway, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
If we started how we've been since Christmas, we'd be right up there.
Yeah.
But, that's all ifs and buts.
Yeah.
But the one thing I would say about Dyche, he's really good at bringing players on. So many average players he's turned into, like Barnes, for example. He was awful when he came to the club. He was just a donkey when he came to the club, and now he's a really good player.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a number of the like Tarkowski,
Michael King Benley, was one as well, Michael wasn't he? He's not with you anymore.
He brought on really well.
And they also go on to say, if available, would you like Kieran Trippier to return? As in the press, there's been some stuff linking him with a return, because he came out and said he'd like to work with Sean Dyche again at some point. So welcome with open arms.
Absolutely, we'd love him. Yeah.
Would he get in the team over Phil Bardsley?
Well, do you know, I wasn't a fan of Bardsley, but he's been doing really well.
He's a committed player, isn't he?
You don't play under Ferguson at United for, three or four seasons if you're no good.
Unless your name's Chris Eagles.
But he, I think he was lacking a bit of fitness when he got to the club, but he's pretty good now.
Experienced top flight player as well. He must have racked up a lot of games.
He's not a keeper. We'll get this season out of him, and maybe I think he's a good guy to have in the squad and a good guy to have around the place. And he's playing well, but he's only a temporary fix.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Jason on Facebook has said, what's it like watching goalkeepers use up 20 minutes of a game taking goal kicks?
What's it like experimenting with hallucinogenic drugs?
There you go, Jason.
20 minutes.
Let us know, Jason. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see if there's any time wasting at this game on your part. I remember all the boos, but that's the game, isn't it? You can't go to Tottenham and try and play them off the pit. You've got to try any trick that you can to...
Fair enough. Richard Stanton on Facebook said, what's the worst away end that you've ever been in?
Oh, God. I've been following Burnley since we're in the fourth division. And I've been to the old Colchester ground, used to be a nightmare. Blackpool used to be a nightmare.
What was particularly bad about those two?
They were like the Colchester one was falling to pieces, holes in the roof, it was pouring with rain.
A bit like a luxury hotel for Burnley.
Exactly,
fans,
yeah, it was nice for us. People throwing burgers and things at you. But it's all changed now. You don't. Yeah. The other one, that Wigan's old ground, used to be absolutely horrendous. You used to stand on this old like shale bank thing.
Yeah. There you go. Some stories there.
Absolutely.
I think I haven't gone to that many away grounds outside of the Prem because we haven't really played too many. But Blackburn was.
There's
a mentioned earlier, not great.
I think you can get it on Facebook. There's something called Homes of Football, and it's a guy. I can't remember his name. He went and took pictures of all of the 92 league grounds. Just. I think you can find it on Twitter and on Facebook, and there's some really interesting pictures of some of the old grounds and how bad it used to be.
Last one, Stato on Facebook, who said Stato, please ask John, what's the obsession with putting potato in pies?
Why wouldn't you have a pie without a potato in it? And gravy and mushy peas.
I love it. I bet you weren't expecting that question.
I wasn't,
to pop up,
no.
Was you? Fantastic. Well, look, John, it's been good talking all things Spurs, all things Burnley.
Thank you for inviting me.
Good luck for the rest of the season, apart from Saturday.
No, well, I wish you luck as well on Saturday.
I don't think we'll need too much luck to get through it personally.
We'll see. Yeah.
Remember, whatever happens, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
Absolutely. Up the clarets.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realised until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy, and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael Van der Vaart, 2-2. It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.
Tottenham.